famous old Scottish poet, Robert Burns, once wrote a poem about the best laid schemes of mice and men. Maybe that's a line that you've heard. Well, that's where it came from. That's Robert Burns from Scotland. And really it was how about both mice and men, for both mice and men, our schemes and our plans for our lives so often go awry. We plan for this, that, and the other to take place, and sometimes it just never happens. And you know, that can be very frustrating, especially for not just the mice, but the men. Really for all of us, men and women included, because for the most part, we are planning people. And we don't like surprises. We don't like things to shake up our plans, if you will. And you know, you can see this in your own life because there are times that you are just inflexible to change. There are things that you are so accustomed to doing that you don't want anything to change about those plans. You know, I think we can even see this morning, and that most of you and most of us are creatures of habit. Just think about where you're sitting today. More than likely, it's the exact same place that you sat last week, and maybe the week before that. And maybe, well, I guess some of you probably changed places when the whole COVID thing took place. But we're creatures of habit. We don't like change. We don't like surprises. But the question that we all need to consider this morning is this. When we make plans, where are God's plans in our plans? When we set goals, where are God's goals in our goals? And I think this question is important because even though, as Burns put it in his old Scottish dialect, the best laid schemes o' mice and men gang aft the glay, they often go astray. This is never true about God's plans, though. They never go aglay. They never go astray. God's plans for you, God's plans for your family, God's plans for our church, God's plans even for the world, as we've been describing in eschatology on Sunday mornings. And so as we head back in our Bibles to Romans 15, we're going to see through the plans that even the Apostle Paul was making for his service to the Lord, that we need to leave room in our plans for God's plans and God's work in our lives. So there in Romans 15, we're going to continue our series through Romans. We're getting closer to the end. We will finish it by God's grace through at the end of this year. But here we have Paul's own travel plans, his itinerary, or at least his expected itinerary of where he was going to go in service of the Lord. If you remember, he was called to be an apostle and sent as a missionary to the Gentile world, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, but also by the church there in Antioch. And so picking up there in verse 22, Paul says, for which cause also, because he's referring to the ministry that he had all throughout the known world at that time, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, O church in Rome. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem, another travel change, another travel plan, to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution, a gift, for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal or material things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You know, the best laid plans often go awry. And that is so true for all of us. But God's plans never go awry. And in the verses that we just read, we're going to find four things that God often uses to reveal his plans to us as his people. And you're going to find that these ways that God reveals his plans to us are somewhat unexpected and maybe somewhat uninvited to our planning personalities. But when he does, when God reveals his plans for your plans, you need to be ready and willing to adjust your plans accordingly. And so what we find first, as we just read in verse 22, you need to leave room in your plans for providential delays that come into your plans. Providential delays. Have you ever experienced a delay in your travel plans? Maybe a long layover. You know, this is something that happened, just a couple of weeks ago, when Southwest Airlines had to cancel hundreds of flights and really left thousands of people in limbo, all because of the weather. That was really seemed like it was pretty nice during those days. That can be a very frustrating experience, and we need to pray for Brother Rick as he goes down to Arizona that won't take place here in the next couple of weeks. But that's a frustrating experience to experience delay, especially in your travel plans. You want to go one place, you want to go another, and you can't get there. Well, Paul experienced a lot of delays in his plans. Paul experienced a lot of hindrances, he says here, to his plans. In fact, for far worse reasons than just weather. But when he did have weather issues, they were pretty severe and pretty bad. So again, he describes this for us in verse 22, "For which cause also I have been much hindered." I've been hindered in a lot of ways and a lot of times from coming to you, the Church of Rome. Just think of some of the hindrances that Paul faced in his ministry for the Lord. Think of some of the delays that he experienced in his service for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7:5, you don't need to turn to these verses, but these are all dealing with his travel plans. In 2 Corinthians 7:5, we see that there were personal difficulties that he faced as he was traveling. Like difficulties it describes when he came into Macedonia and his flesh had no rest, he says. But we were troubled on every side. Without there were fightings and within were fears. So there were some tangible difficulties that were outside of his body, outside of his control. And of course, there were intangible troublings, fears in his own heart. And these prevented him a lot of times from fulfilling what he wanted to do in service for the Lord, what he thought God wanted him to do in service for the Lord. He also faced, not only did he face personal injuries and health needs and ministry obligations, which is what he's referring to there in verse 22, he also faced satanic defiance at times to his plans. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he describes this defiance when he was wanting to go to Thessalonica, which was in the region of Macedonia. He says, "Oh, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." That's the same word that we have here in Romans 15. And you have to wonder, you have to think, well, how in the world did Satan hinder Paul from doing God's work and God's ministry, even there going to Thessalonica? Well, we're not sure entirely. We don't not exactly know what he means by this. But however Satan defied his plans and hindered him from his plans, it delayed his plans to visit the Thessalonian church. Hindrances, delays. But some of those delays were also caused by divine direction. I really say all of them were caused by divine direction. But in Luke's account in Acts 16, he even describes how they went through some other regions like Phrygia and the region of Galatia. And God directed his path by forbidding through the Holy Spirit for them to preach the word in Asia. Then he says, when we came to Mysia, they wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So, again, God was directing his path. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit hindered him or how God suffered him not to go to some of these places that he was planning on going to and going through. But God directed Paul in all of his travels. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get delayed from some plan that I have, I get very frustrated. And that may have been a temptation to Paul. He could have been frustrated like you and I get frustrated when things get in our way. He could have been very bitter because he was much hindered in all of those travel plans. But do you know what Paul knew? Paul knew that God's ways were far better than his ways. And he knew that God's plans were far greater than his plans for travel. And so Paul gave the Lord room to work his plans in and through him. He said, "God, these really aren't delays, are they? They're hindrances from my perspective, but ultimately you're in charge, you're in control, and you're revealing to me what your plans are for me." And he was open to that. He was given room for that. And in doing so, even though Paul's plans were delayed, God's plans were never derailed. You know, a few months ago, back in August, not too far from our house there in Fountain Town, there was a train derailment. Some of you might have seen that or heard about that on the news. It made a mess. I mean, you could actually see as you were driving across the track there in town to as they had it closed up, you could see just how the mangled mess was, not just on the tracks, but off into the yards of some of the people's homes. And I guess there was some cooking oil that spilled, and you could see the white mess there in the ground. And it was awful. And I would imagine that the conductor of that train, as they were getting up that morning and heading out from, I guess, probably out east and heading up toward Indianapolis, he probably had a goal. You know, he had a timetable that he had to follow. He had a plan in place. He wasn't expecting for it to be derailed. And so often that's the way we live our lives. I know what I'm going to do today. I know what I'm going to do this week. I know what my plans are for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, well into next year. I have plans in place. And yet we get delayed. We experience hindrances. Maybe some of those hindrances are the same kind of hindrances that Paul experienced. Personal difficulties. I get sick. Satanic hindrances of various ways. God directing our plans according to His will. God's plan is never derailed, even if it feels like your plans get delayed. So how did Paul respond to these delays and hindrances to his plans and his goals to serve the Lord? Remember, these were good plans. These were God-given plans, he believed. He saw them, and he used these delays as divine appointments and opportunities for God to work. They weren't delays after all. They weren't hindrances. So do you get frustrated with delays that seem to mess up your plans? I think we all do. I think that's just sort of a human nature thing. Leave room for them. Leave room for those delays. Leave room for those hindrances, because through them, God Himself might be making known to you His plans. So be open. Leave room in your plans for God's plans and work. But then number two, you also need to leave room in your plans for providential desires. Not just delays that might get in your way, but providential desires. Desires that God may give you that seem to go against the grain of your own plans and your own desires. You know, most animals do not like to be rubbed against the fur, right? And so, of course, to annoy my dog and Braden's cat, guess what I do? I rub the fur the wrong way. And, of course, it looks funny and they feel weird. But sometimes God does that with our desires, doesn't He? You want to do this? Well, I'm going to kind of give you a different desire, and it's going to rub against your natural desire. And so often we'll bristle at that. We'll say, no, God, I don't want to do that. I want to go there. I don't want that to happen to me. But you know what God is doing often with those providential desires, those God-given desires that seem to go against your own natural desires? He's showing to you what His desire is. And what His plan is for your life, and what His goal is for your service. You see, these kinds of desires come from the Lord. In Philippians 2:13, we're told that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, often we focus on the to-do part of His good pleasure, because we're doing people, we're planning people, we want to accomplish things, and we know that if I do anything for God, it's God working in me and through me. It's God's power that enables me to do what He wants me to do. But don't forget about the will. It is God that works in you to will His good pleasure. And so if there is any good thing that God places in your heart to do for Him, to do for His people, to do in His church, recognize that it's not your plan, your will, your goal. It's ultimately God's goal and God's will being worked in your life. You see, godly desires come from God Himself. And this is an indication that God is at work. You know, there are times when God gives you a desire to pray about someone or some matter. Well, could that be a delay or a hindrance in your plans for that day? Perhaps. But maybe that is God directing you and prompting you with His will and His plan for your day. Now, you know, it can be very easy for us to give up on some of those desires that we have, right? Those dreams that we may have once had as children. It's probably too late for me now to fulfill my childhood dream of playing for the Denver Broncos, though they probably could use my help this year. But when you have dreams and desires to live for the Lord that come from the Lord, don't give up on those. Don't give up on those. We see that the Apostle Paul had a desire to go see the Christians in the city of Rome. And it was a long-standing desire and aspiration to do that. And he was probably wondering, when am I ever going to be able to see them? Whenever am I going to be able to impart some kind of ministry to them? And perhaps he thought, well, if it hasn't happened now, it's never going to happen. So I might as well just give up on that dream, give up on that desire. But that desire was a good desire. It was a wholesome, godly desire. It was God's desire and plan for him. And so he never gave up on that plan. God gave him a special desire to visit Rome, not for sightseeing, but for Christian service. If you think about all that he had heard about the church in Rome, all the way back in chapter 1 of Romans, he even wrote to them. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that faith gave him a desire to go see them and see them with his own eyes. You know, Paul even made some very close friends from among the church of Rome. You might remember Priscilla and Aquila, some godly people that God used to support Paul and help Paul and encourage Paul when he was in Corinth. They came from this church in Rome. And so also back in chapter 1, verse 11, he says again, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That was his desire. That was his goal. And it was something that was instilled in his heart by God. And so in verse 23, he confirms the great reality of his desire to visit with them. Again, he says in verse 23 of chapter 15, but now, having no more place in these parts, I think I'm pretty much done here. And having a great desire these many years to come unto you. It's a long-standing desire. Whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. So again, these verses, we see Paul's desire from God was a longing and a lasting desire. It was something he wanted to do for years. But only at this point in his ministry, he believed he had accomplished all the plans that he had made to what he said in verse 20 of this same chapter, to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. Remember, he was a pioneer. He wanted to go to places and heard the gospel, never heard about Christ. And now he was even making new plans to go to a new frontier, even to explore and evangelize the province of Spain. I mean, if you look at a map and you look at the map of the Roman Empire, that's pretty close to the extent of it, especially during the time of Rome. It's a little bit later, I think, when Britannia was sort of ruled by Rome, and only then just the southern part. But we're talking about frontier territory. Paul set his sights on going there to share the gospel. And he believed that on his way to Spain, he could finally fulfill the desire that God had given to him to visit Rome too. But why? Why would he go there? You know, most of you know, my wife and I went to Italy a couple of years back, and we went to Rome, and the primary purpose of our trip was to sightsee. We tried to learn a little Italian, but it didn't stick, and so we didn't really have a whole lot of conversations with people in Italian, and even some, not a whole lot in English either. But Paul had some really good desires to go to Italy, good desires to go to Rome. In verse 24, he says, for I trust to see you in my journey. Why? So that I might be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. You see, wherever Paul went, it was with a purpose. He went with a purpose. And so any visit to Rome would be for these reasons. What reasons? First, to share his vision. To share his vision. You see, for Paul, Rome wasn't to be the end of his journey. At least not from his perspective, not according to his plans. It would just be a layover. It's like when you were to travel overseas. You know, you might take an airplane that'll go a long ways, but most of the time you have to take a layover. Wherever that is, some hub that you have to go to, it might be a couple of hours. You have to wait there. Well, of course, back then they didn't have the airplanes, but Paul was seeing Rome as a stopping point and then a starting point to continue on to his desire of sharing the gospel there in Rome. And so his goal was not just that he himself personally, all by himself, would go to Spain. He also wanted the Roman church that he had not planted, The Roman church that had been thriving even without his ministry there, he wanted that church to catch his vision and to share his burden to get the gospel to Spain. You know, there are a lot of other times when he would travel from place to place and people from other churches and other cities would join him in his journeys. And maybe that's what he had in mind. Maybe there's some Roman Christians that God would call to send with him into Spain so he wouldn't be doing this on his own. And maybe there were some supplies and maybe there was some food and money and things that he would need to help him on his way. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to share his vision with his church. And really, that is a great goal for all of us. When God gives us a desire, it should not be our own desire. It should be a desire and vision that we share so that we as the people of God can join together, contribute with each other, and help each other fulfill those goals that God gives us. A second reason was to share in his vitalization, to have mutual encouragement and edification. He says again, "If first I'd be somewhat filled with your company." It wasn't just to use them to get to Spain. It was also just to enjoy fellowship with them and to minister to them, to share his gifts with them and for them to share their gifts with him. Now, Paul's dreams and desires to visit both Rome and Spain had been with him for years, he says. But like a lot of our childhood dreams, it could have been very easy for him to just give up on those dreams. Hasn't happened yet, Lord. So maybe I'll just kind of stay put where I'm at. You know, I've been able to be used by you here in Corinth, probably where he wrote the book of Romans, and I'm probably going to be content here. I know that you gave me that burden to preach the gospel where Christ was never heard before, but I think it's time for others to be pioneers. I think it's time for others to blaze those trails into other territories. It could have been very easy for him to give up on those good desires. But instead, what did he do? Because he knew those desires were from God, for years he prayed about it. He pursued those desires, even if they at times seemed to him like just a pipe dream or a fantasy. He kept on pursuing those God-given desires. And that's something else that we need to learn from the Apostle Paul. We need to learn to leave room in our plans for good spiritual desires that God brings into our hearts and minds. When was the last time God gave you a desire to serve in some capacity, or to minister to some person, or to go to some place and to share God's word, or to just give a cup of cold water in his name? When was the last time God gave you that desire? Did you use that desire? Again, so many of our plans and desires relate to matters of this life, aren't they? You might have a calendar that you detail all the things that you plan to do this next week, and most of those plans and desires are earthbound. And that's okay. I mean, there are things that we need to do. I was telling my wife that last couple of weeks, we've accomplished a lot at our house. But they were needed things, maintenance things. Of course, Brother Andy used to say, or at least his dad used to tell him, and then he told me, and I'm sure Art has heard this many times, and Andrew too, right? You know, if you take care of the little things, the big things never happen. Well, I let a lot of those little things go, and some of the big things were starting to happen. So I needed to take care of some of those little things, and those plans are okay. But are there any plans and desires or even things on your calendar that are heaven bound and things that are related to the things of the Lord? Providential desires? What does your calendar look like this week? When God gives you a desire with spiritual vision and spiritual revitalization, don't neglect those desires. And in fact, stir them up. Strengthen those desires. Use those desires. Because even though it may seem like that desire goes against your natural desires, even though it may seem like that desire and goal may never be fulfilled, keep praying about it, as Paul did. Keep pursuing it, as Paul did, and then be patient for it, as Paul was. Because God's timing is best. You know, when God called me to the ministry, when I was in junior high, I remember the time, I remember the place, I remember the conversation that I was having with God. It wasn't some audible voice from heaven, but I was praying and God was speaking to me through his word. And I was surrendering my life to ministry. And I felt at that time, and for a long time that God was going to call me to the former Soviet Union. For years, that was my aspiration, that was my goal, that was my desire, and still in my own heart, I still have that in my head. There's still an aspiration there to go there, to minister to God's people, and perhaps share the gospel in places like that. But at times, God shifts those plans, right? God shifts those desires. But when God puts a desire in your heart, you don't give up on it. You keep it there. You keep it in your mind. You keep it in your heart, and you wait to see how God is going to direct in your plan. So what dreams have you given up that God has placed in your heart at one time? Renew those. Pray about them. Pursue after them. And then be patient for them. Maybe God has given you a desire to minister through prayer for the salvation of a soul in your family or a soul that you know that needs Christ. And you've done that for years. Just like Paul had that desire to go to Rome and Spain for years, and you prayed and you poured out your heart, and you see no fruit from that prayer, no results for that prayer, and you think, well, God is never going to save them. God's never going to answer my prayer. So instead of praying for them daily, you start doing it every other day. And then instead of every other day, you start doing it every week. And then after every week, you start doing it every month. And soon you stop praying for that person's salvation that God had given you a desire for. Don't give up on those desires. Because God uses those desires to show you His desires. God uses your plans to show you His plan. Keep praying about those, pursuing those, and yet be patient for those. And yet keep fanning the flames of those God-given desires, and then leave room in your heart for more. When was the last time God gave you a desire? When were you open to it? God, stir my heart about something. Stir my heart about someone. Stir my heart about some matter, something that matters. Not just the cares of this world, but the heavenly cares and the heavenly burdens. Stir up my heart, Lord. Fan that flame. Give me a desire that I can pursue with all of my heart. Because that is how God leads His people. That's how God leads His dear children along. But then number three, as we continue through, you also need to be open to and leave room for providential doors, providential delays, providential desires. And number three, providential doors. Sometimes when you pursue after your God-given desires, that path often God uses to get you to that destination, or the path that God uses to get you to that destination, instead of going straight, starts to wind around a little bit, right? You ever notice that? Sometimes it meanders. It's kind of like the meme that I've seen a few times on Facebook that illustrates the typical shopping habits of a husband and a wife. You ever seen that? The husband, when he wants something at the store, usually makes a beeline for it and gets right back out. You know, not a whole lot else distracts him unless you're going through the automotive section. That might be a little different. One line in, one line out. But for the wife, whole other story. Might go in for one thing, but she might miss something. So she goes through every single aisle, all over the store. And eventually she has to go back over to the other side because she forgot to look at something else. And eventually she'll get back out of the store with maybe just that item and then a few other things as well. But you know, I think for both men and women, when it comes to certain desires and certain goals, it is hard for us to be patient and wait for the way that the Lord often takes to work, that meandering path that God often puts in our path. So sometimes God will take you through the entire store before He leads you out of that store. But you know, those different aisles are really different doors that God gives us, that God puts in our path and in our plans to accomplish His will. Now, sometimes when a husband and a wife go shopping, it can be a very frustrating experience because one wants to do it one way and the other wants to do it their way. And so it is with our plans and God's plans. We may have a plan to do something good for God. We may have an aspiration in serving God. We all ought to. But sometimes that plan gets delayed, seems like it gets derailed. But what is God doing instead? He's giving you doors, other doors that you need to go through, because He's directing your path, as we've been singing about today, and He's showing to you His plan and His will. So here we have in verses 25 through 27, the Apostle Paul describing some doors of opportunity that the Lord gave him. And these were good opportunities that even though they were good, they still further delayed his good desire to visit the church in Rome. Paul writes in verse 25, but now, he just said, I want to go to Rome. But now, I go to Jerusalem. Wait a second, that's like the opposite direction. You want to go to Rome, you want to go to Spain, but now you're going to Jerusalem. What's going on with your plans, Paul? Why? For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, brothers and sisters in Christ in these other regions, to make a certain contribution, a gift, for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. Oh, and it hath pleased them verily. So even though Paul felt the time was right for him to finally make his way to Rome, yet God gave him other opportunities. In other words, as he was moving one direction, God opened a door for him to go another direction, and it didn't derail God's plan. So what are some of these opportunities? Well, there's an opportunity to serve. He said in verse 25, to minister unto the saints. And I don't think this is just talking about the saints in Jerusalem. I think he's also talking about ministering to the saints that wanted to give this offering, this special offering that he was collecting, to Jerusalem. He wasn't just serving the poor saints in Jerusalem. He was serving the saints and believers in Macedonia and Achaia, because he was stirring up this good desire that God had given them to make this special offering to help the people there. You see, when God opens a door for you to serve, even if it doesn't seem like it fits with your gift, you know, if there's a door of opportunity and you're like, that would be great for so-and-so to go through, and yet that door's right in front of your face, God is giving you that door to go through. Not for someone else, but for you. Maybe it doesn't fit with your current plans. Well, I'll get to that door, God, next year. I'll get to that door, God, next month. Instead, you need to go through the door and serve. God often uses these doors not only to reveal his plans, but also to reveal your gifts. How do you know what your gifts are if you've never attempted to serve in some capacity? That's how God chooses to reveal his plans and your gifts. Another opportunity that God gave was an opportunity to share. To share with this certain contribution that was given for the poor saints. In other words, we should always be ready to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If there's a burden that a brother or sister in Christ or even a neighbor or someone in the community has and it is put right before your face, there's a door. God has placed a door of opportunity for you to open and use for his glory. And make those burdens could be physical burdens or material burdens like the church there in Jerusalem. It could be material burdens, but also emotional burdens, spiritual burdens. Whenever God opens a door for you to share another person's burden, go through that door and share. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been on this path, this Christian pilgrimage, or how short it's been for you. These doors still exist for his people. These doors are nothing less than divine appointments. And even if it seems like it takes you so far off the pathway of your own plans, God's showing you his plan, which is far greater and far better than our own. But you know, not all doors are doors of opportunity. Some of those doors are simply doors of obligation, doors of duty. Even those obligations are good, though, and further the work and plans and purposes of the Lord. We see this in the last part of verse 27, where Paul says, their debtors they are. In other words, these Gentile believers were in debt to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. But it wasn't a legal debt. It was a moral debt. After all that the Jewish believers in Jerusalem had sacrificed in order to get the gospel out beyond the regions of Judea and Samaria, out to the uttermost parts of the earth, to Macedonia and Achaia and even to Rome, oh, they were in debt to them spiritually. In many ways, the person that led you to the Lord, you have a debt to. And it really is a debt that we can never repay. It's a debt that we have nothing to repay, for sure. But again, he says, they're debtors, they are. For if these Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, the gospel, their duty is also to minister unto them in material or carnal things. Paul wanted the Christian churches that he had founded in the regions that he mentions there, they had certain obligations to these Jews, these Jewish believers. But then Paul believed it was his duty and his obligation to help them fulfill it. But you know where these obligations come from? They come from the fountain of Christ's own love. So these were loving duties. Not necessarily I have to, but I get to. So they had an obligation to repay the spiritual treasure that they were given. Their debtors they are, Paul wrote. And they also had an obligation to relieve the material poverty of their brothers and sisters in Christ, whom they had never met, to minister unto them in carnal, material things. So along the pathway of the Christian life, there are many obligations, spiritual obligations that we need to attend to as well. Many would describe these as the means of grace that God uses to cultivate our spiritual growth in the Lord. It's going to church, having fellowship with the believers, not forsaking them. It's reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, being a witness and a testimony. These are obligations and duties that Christians have. But we do not do so from a legal standpoint, but from a moral standpoint, and really out of a love standpoint for the Lord. If we love Christ, we're going to obey His commandments. But these obligations are things that we often need to do. And sometimes if you don't feel like it, sometimes you still have to do it. And as you do it, you know what happens to that duty? It often becomes a delight. Because God is impressing that obligation upon you. Because as we find in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. So whatever door God puts before you as you are pursuing your plans for Him, remember that those doors are never in the way. In fact, those doors are the way. They are the way. After all, it is God who put them there. So don't get flustered or don't get frustrated with them. Go through them and use them. And leave room in your plans for the doors of opportunities and obligations that God places along your way. Because again, God often reveals His own plans for you with those doors. But then last, you also need to leave room for providential determination. And that is a determination to be a good steward of whatever desire, whatever goal that God has given you to accomplish. You know, the question often comes up, did Paul ever make it to Spain? Did he get there? Well, if he did, then why isn't it recorded for us in the Bible? Or if he didn't, then why did even God give him that desire in the first place? But whether Paul finally made it to Spain or not, Paul could confidently tell Timothy at the end of his life and ministry in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. So whether he made it to Spain or not, whether God had fulfilled that desire of his or not, he had no regrets. I finished my course. There are a couple indications in a couple of early writers that may show that he did make it to Spain, but there's just only two references that we know of. So did he? Didn't he? We're not entirely sure. But he had no regrets because God gave him the grace and the strength to be determined to be a good steward no matter what. Whatever door he was to go through, whatever gift he had been given, whatever opportunity or obligation he had, he was a good steward of it. He writes in verse 28 and 29 again, when therefore I have performed this, going to Jerusalem, and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We need the same kind of determination in the goals that we have to be good stewards of what God has given us. A few things. Stewards with our gifts. Paul was a good steward with a gift that God had given to him. Verse 28, it was a gift and a goal to perform and seal the fruit that he was given. In other words, he was going to do what God called him to do in a complete way and in the correct way. A complete way perform and a correct way to seal. In other words, he was going to go along to ensure the integrity of that gift. They probably didn't have checks that they would write, you know, to the Christians there in Jerusalem. So it was probably an ample amount of gold and silver, coins, maybe a big trunk load of them. And he was there to ensure that what was given was then distributed to the poor Christians there in Rome. To seal up that fruit. And so when God gave him an open door, he was going to do it completely and correctly. And you know what a lot of times we do? When God opens a door that seems to get us away from our path and our plan, a lot of times instead of going through the door all the way, we just go through halfway. We open up just a little bit, just to peek around it and see what's over there. And, oh, that's not really according to my plan. I'm going to go this way instead. We go halfway or we give half efforts. But that's not what Paul said. Even if these things seem to get in his way, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to perform what he gives me to do. I'm going to seal that fruit with the same determination that God had given him. You see, ultimately, all of these gifts, this contribution was fruit. It's what God was doing in his people and through his people to be a blessing to his people. The doors that God gives us to serve, the doors that God will give you this week to serve him is fruit. And how will you use that fruit? How will you cultivate that fruit? Will you do so in a complete way and in the correct way? We need to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as Peter says. But it's not just with our gifts, it's also with our goals. Paul still made goals and plans. He still had a goal to go to Spain and go to Rome. How many of us really have spiritual plans in our lives and service for the Lord? I had to think about this week. What are my plans? What are my spiritual goals? Do we have goals to spend extra amount of time in prayer as we get closer to the Thanksgiving and Christmas season? Is there somebody specifically that God has placed in your heart to witness to? Is there so much scripture that you want to have memorized or read? Have you written some of those goals and desires down? I'm wondering if Paul even had a little sketch of some of the places that he wanted to go, that he knew needed the gospel. Places that the foundation of Christ had never been established. Okay, I've been to Galatia. I've been to Phrygia. I've been over there to Asia. I've been to Macedonia now, and I've been to Achaia. And, oh, I have here Rome and Spain. They're still on my list. They still need the Lord. And with all my effort, with all my heart, I'm going to aspire to go there. He still had those goals, even if they seemed lofty, even if they seemed impossible. Of course, we know that God can redirect those plans, as we've seen throughout this message. But why don't we today attempt great things for God? Even as we expect great things from God, as William Carey once put it. Aspire to do something for God. You think, well, most of my years of my life have passed. Aspire to do something for God. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. The path is not over yet. Whatever travel plans you have, make sure they are guided by God's plans and will. Knowing that your determination, your doors, your desires, and even your delays are all part of God's way to direct your plans and accomplish His. Aspire to do something for God. But that determination should always be in light of the gospel. Here at the end of verse 29, Paul writes, "Oh, I shall come. I shall come, how? In the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Paul believed that because of all that God had been doing through the gospel, not only in his life, but also in the lives of the Romans, that when he finally came, his heart would be full because of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You see, without the gospel, all of your plans will be for naught. Without the gospel, all of your plans that are earthbound, again, not bad plans, important plans, useful plans to make sure that those big things never happen, if you will. But they will be absolutely worthless and useless without the gospel. You know this world is going to be burned up, right? Someday. God's going to start everything new. And so, yes, let's do those things. Let's pursue after those things. But don't leave the other things undone. And recognize that through the gospel, whatever God accomplishes through us will last. It will be to His praise and His glory into eternity. But you know, the gospel is where all of your plans must begin. All of them. As one writer, hymn writer, asked, "Have you any room for Jesus?" After all, Jesus is the one who came to save us from our sin. He lived his life for us. He died on the cross for us. He rose from the dead for us. And he did so that there could be in our plans the gospel that changes our very purpose in life. So there may be in your own plans room for pleasure, room for business, but is that it? Is there room for Jesus? Is there room for Christ in all of your life and plans? Only when you turn to and trust in Christ as your Savior will He be able to direct your path and your plans for His glory and really for your own good. But that's where those plans must start. So be determined to be a good steward of all that God has given you to accomplish for God, to accomplish His work. And even if it seems like your spiritual goals and desires may be forever out of reach, I may never get to Russia. And that's okay. Remember what the Lord tells us to do with those things that are within your reach and grasp. The doors that God has placed right before you. A lot of times with flashing lights. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We take that verse and we often apply it to our work, to our homes, sometimes to our families, to our plans. But do we do it in the work that God has given to us? In God's plans for us? So is there room today in your plans for God's plans? Is there? Is there room today for God's plans to be worked out in you and through you? Remember today that God uses your determination, your doors, your desires, and even your delays in your plans to reveal His plans to you and ultimately for you. Are you open to God's plans? Let's close in prayer. Father, I know that from this passage, from Paul's itinerary, we can see a lot of similarities to some of the plans that we have. And I know, Lord, that God has called each of us to the ministry that You've placed us, whether it's at work or at home or at church. Yet sometimes, Lord, we get distracted by the external, kind of worldly things that will help those plans along. And we forget about the spiritual, heavenly desires and goals that we need. Because again, without the gospel, all of our plans are for naught. But I thank You, Lord, for the example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, again, we know that he was not perfect. But Lord, by Your grace, through His strength, he was able to recognize that even through the delays that he went through, and the desires that You gave him, and the doors that You put in his path, that seemed to kind of get in his way, and even that strong determination to accomplish his plans, all of those You were using to not only show Paul Your plans, but then to guide him to fulfill Your plans. And that's why Paul could say at the very end of his life, I have finished my course. And so, Father, I pray that that will be our desire today. And that's a good desire, and even a God-given desire. Help us, Lord, not to rest on the past, but, Lord, to constantly be striving forward so that Your plans really are the ones that become our plans. And in doing so, Lord, that we will rest and be patient in Your grace and Your timing to accomplish Your will through us. What a privilege, Lord, to be in Your service today. Whatever capacity, with whatever gift, with whoever You have placed us in, whatever circle of people that You've placed us, oh, what a privilege it is. And now, Father, I pray that You'll help us to keep our plans wide open for You to direct our paths. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.